Up in the morning and in the field, breaking my back just to pay my bills. Loving what I do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.
Welcome back, folks. This is Lloyd Creech II.
Paul McDaniel.
And you're listening to Radio Hour with EKH on 104.9 FM, WSKV, out of Stanton, Kentucky. Hope everybody's having a... it's pretty close to hell out there.
Yeah, buddy, it's a warm one.
And stuff. It's hot.
Well, I was telling Lloyd on the way in, I've been just following my dog around today. She knows where all the cool places are.
And it's warm. Looks like we're going to stay in this pattern for some time. Look, they're giving some rain for the coming week. Looks like maybe Sunday and maybe next Friday or Saturday.
Well, I hope we get a good soaking
and stuff. I do too. That last little storm that came through here, we got the wind off of it, but we didn't get any rain off of
it. Well, now it started pouring there at the house, and I thought everything in the world was going to come apart. It just come down about 3 minutes.
Really? You got 3 minutes worth? We got 20 drops in.
Well, now it in soaked Mount everything, made everything wet, and then I went out in the garden later and kind of kicked around a little bit. Uh-huh. Well, it didn't go a half inch down the ground. It bone dry underneath there.
Yeah, so it's getting really dry. We're in hay. As of when this show airs, which will be on Saturday, Friday, and stuff, about an hour and a half before me and Paul stepped in here and stuff, got Camargo done, got 120 rolls off the Camargo farm, and got 100 bales of square bales, and that is the most square bales and the most rolled hay that's been produced on a first cut in Camargo in years.
Well,
and so, and I'm thinking where it's been all dry and everything. So
I used to love to work in square bale hay. I don't think I could pick one up now.
You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, how heavy do you make yours? And I'm like, about 40 pounds.
They get heavier every year.
No, mine get lighter every year and stuff. I'm putting them up for myself. They're not for sale. Well, yeah. And stuff. They're I use them for when cattle get sick and they need to be put up for a couple of days. And right. So that's what I feed them, so I don't go out there and get them 50 and 60 pound bales and stuff. It ain't worth killing yourself.
No.
My work hand Jordan, I told him all day long, I says, now you need to save your energy up for this, what's going to go on this afternoon. He's like, what are we doing this afternoon? I'm like, we're square baling. And he goes, oh man. He said, really? I said, yeah, it's only 98 degrees out here, so we got a square bale on 98 degree days. You can't do it when it's 70.
Yeah.
And so he picked up five or six, and he's like, I gotta have a break. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm driving truck, Jimmy's baling for me, and he'd go take a break, and I'd go pick up five or six, seven more, and then he'd come back and pick up, you know, 10. Hey, I got to have another break and stuff, okay? And so he'd go sit down in the shade, and I'd go, you know, I'm driving truck and picking up hay at this point and stacking. And so it took a while to do that, but we got it done. We got just over 100 bales and stuff. I give my uncle several of them, so for helping.
Well, I'd rather pick up hay on a hot day than I would tobacco.
This is true. This is
you get that old stinking tobacco rubbing against you, and I've seen people lay down and wide eye quick on that stuff.
And stuff, but it's been a minute since we've been in tobacco fields around
here.
Well,
I don't fool with it no more. So
no, I don't. It's not a good thing and stuff. It was a good cash crop when you can make money off of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But anymore, if you
well, I enjoyed it. You know, when I first bought my property, mm-hmm. we had a tobacco base, and I had two fields. I put it in there, and old man always told me, he says, I hand set all mine, and he always said, do it during a full moon. Mm-hmm. And so I'd go out there at night, and I had two big sledgehammers, and I tied a string between them, put one on each end of the field, and then I went right down that and set that stuff in there, and I always had the prettiest, always got top dollar out of it.
Huh, that's good.
It was pretty tobacco.
Hmm. And so, but other than that, it's been a while since we've been in here in the radio show and stuff. I am so sorry about this, guys. The life has thrown me curveball after curveball after curveball for about the last month and a half. Mom, with her knee surgery, she's over it. She's almost done with physical therapy. She can drive now. She was able to drive from the house to the store, which is only about the way the crow flies is about 300-400 feet and stuff, but if you drove it, it's about a half mile. And but she's over it now, so I got a babysitter back. But then last week Teresa got COVID again.
Oh no.
And she had some of my family come over, and she was taking pictures of them, and one of them had it and didn't know he had it, and there showed no signs, no symptoms, nothing like that. Got to work on a Monday morning, and they says, here, you got to take a COVID test before you can come to work. And he failed it, and so he tested positive for COVID. So then they called us that Monday morning and stuff, said, hey, you know, Adam had COVID and stuff, y'all just need to be, you know, on alert. And so we stayed on alert pretty much all week, and then Teresa came down with it, and Bub was sick for maybe half a day and stuff. He don't hardly ever catch it. I've not had it yet.
Well,
knock on wood.
I don't know if I have or not. And I just wonder how many people would test positive for COVID.
Yeah.
You know, and never know they had it. I mean, if they made it mandatory.
See, that's the last time Teresa had it, which I think is the second time or the first time or something or other, I went ahead and tested for it so I could go back to work. And mine come up with a little, I mean, just a hint of pink on that line.
Oh, yeah.
And 24 hours later, I took another one, and I didn't show nothing. I didn't have no symptoms of no kind. I didn't have no body aches. I didn't have no shortness of breath. I had my smelling, my taste, everything and stuff. Never had anything like, you know, what everybody else has been experiencing.
Well, now, I called a buddy of mine yesterday. I had an old junk truck down there behind the barn. Uh-huh. It didn't belong to me. I wanted to get rid of it. This fellow's got a junkyard. And I told him what I had, and he said, well, he'd send somebody out there to get it. Well, he was down with the COVID at home, and he got it by giving a woman a ride home from the junkyard.
Really?
And she didn't know she had it, but he ended up getting it.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about, hey, his main guy that drives the trucks for him, he was baling hay the other day, and throwed a stick up at him, put his eye out.
Oh, wow. You was telling me about that earlier today.
Yeah, I've been praying for him, you know. Huh?
And so, guys, when you're out there on those equipment stuff,
you need to wear safety glasses and just be very, very careful.
You know, as I'm out there rolling hay and everything, or rolling or square baling and stuff, you get pelted with rocks all the time and stuff. You know, ain't nothing feels no better than getting hit in the back of the head with a rock. But, you know, you're always turned around because you're always watching
the
hay.
You have to watch what you're doing, yeah.
You're always watching the implements behind you and stuff. So.
Well, even a riding lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
You're going to kick something, and if you're up next to a building, it's going to kick back at you.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor, the lady that owns a farm with me, her son about put his eye out with a rock on a riding lawnmower.
Really?
You know, he had to go back and forth to doctors. But now I've got one of my solar panels, and last year I got to look, and I said, what's wrong with that panel? And I remember hitting a rock up there by the house. Well, it flew all the way down, probably 250 feet, and just shattered the bottom corner of one of my solar panels.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you got to be careful out there, fellas.
So be careful out there, especially in the heat and everything, because I know my farmhand stuff, I've sit there and watch them puke and carry on and stuff, getting overheated, and then
they don't eat the right stuff when they go out there and want to drink a bunch of Mountain Dew, and you know.
Well, I always take coolers with me, and we fill it up with Gatorade and water.
Yeah.
And so that's what we drink all day long, is water and Gatorade. But I think he drinks a little too much of it and waterlogs himself with it.
Well,
and then when he goes home at night, I'm guessing that thermostat's sitting on probably about 70 and stuff, and when you're working out 90 plus degree temperatures and stuff, and then you got a cold air conditioner, it makes you wimp quick. So,
well, I was talking about this tobacco. I remember years back, a bunch of us boys were helping a fellow up there in North Middletown, mm-hmm. housing his tobacco. He couldn't get no help. We took a neighbor with us, and this fellow, he wasn't broke to hard work, I can tell you that right now. And we kept telling him the old tobacco had been laying out and been on the stick, it'd been cut. And but it had been raining on it. It was wet, and I told him, I said, now don't hold that up against you. Mm-hmm. And throwing it up on the wagon. Well, he dragging it all up on him, pushing on it and everything. And we stopped and went downtown to have a bite to eat. And all of us just had a little old thin ham sandwich, mm-hmm. you know. And he had to have a big old cheeseburger and a pile of onion rings and a couple of big soda pops. And, you know, he got back up there, and it wasn't 15 minutes. And we said, where's David at? Don't see him. He laying underneath that wagon over there, and he'd wide eyed, and that was it for the end of the day. You know,
we don't eat a whole lot and stuff, especially in this time. You know, we have the grocery store there in Camargo, and you can tell when it's really hot outside and stuff because everybody's wanting sandwiches and stuff. We're selling the heck out of the lunch meats and everything right now. And then on Friday and Saturday, you'll sell more steaks and more hamburger and everything for the cookouts. And then come Sunday again, everybody's buying more lunch meat and stuff for it. And then, you know, the milk sales plummet this time of year and stuff. Milk's good for you and stuff, but if you don't want to drink a lot of it.
I can't drink it. It tears my, especially in the heat, it tears my stomach up.
So it's really, you know, you can watch the sales and how they go up and down and what's selling. You know, the first cold day, we'll sell a bunch of tomato juice, hamburger, and beans for all the chili that's going to be made.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that's a long ways away from here and stuff, but it's funny that you can, you know, it depends on how high the temperature gets or how low the temperature gets and stuff on what you're going to sell that week. So.
Well, now, every once in a while, I like an ice cream on a stick. But, you know, I only buy them in cold weather.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, if you buy one in hot weather and you're trying to drive your truck down the road, it's all over you before you get it eat.
So. You know, you actually sell more ice cream during the winter than you do during the summer and stuff because people are sitting around watching TV more. Mm-hmm. And so they go to the freezer and get them an ice cream out. And so that is a true fact and stuff that you'll sell more ice cream in the winter than you do in the summer.
Well, now, I got addicted to ice cream here a couple of years ago. I had to wean myself off of it. You know, you start off with a little bowl in the evening, and then you end up with, well, that's pretty good. I'll go get two bowls, and next thing you know, you got the bucket in the bed with you. That's why I had to stop that business.
And so we changed over to that Mayfield ice cream there in the store, and it comes in a yellow carton, and they make a cookies and cream, and I love cookies and cream.
I do, too.
And, it, you know, they got this big bright yellow container and stuff, and it's just real eye-appealing, catching. And stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna take some of that home with me and stuff. I'm not supposed to have ice cream. I'm not supposed to have milk and stuff. It makes me sick or in a dog, tears my stomach up and everything.
But it's good.
It was good, and it was so good that I went and got my first bowl, had two, three scoops in it and stuff. And then 2 minutes later, I went and got two or three more scoops. Man, it's good, really good. And then I went and got back and got another scoop and stuff. And then I went to bed that night, and I'm like, man, I'm thirsty. I'm bad thirsty. And so I go get a bottle of water. Before I go to bed every night, I drink one bottle of water. And I'm able to stay asleep all night and not have to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, but with all that ice cream in you and that.
And, oh, man, it locked me up.
Oh, Lord.
And so the next night, you know, I'm like, so I'll get me a bowl of ice cream and a bottle of water at the same time. And stuff. Second night wasn't so hard on me and stuff. I'm glad I went ahead and finished out that little pint of ice cream and stuff. It's done over with, and I'll not have no more for at least another year and stuff. It locked me up and stuff. I cannot do the milk.
Well, right now I'm addicted to Fig Newtons and those little chocolate puddings you get in the cups.
Yeah.
You know, and every once in a while I'll go in a Save-A-Lot over there in Irvin, and they'll be out of both of them.
Oh, no.
And I said, no, here, I'm addicted now. You know, what do I do? But I got to tell a little story. I stopped up here at a hardware store up here a while back. I was looking for some yellow bean seeds, you know, yellow wax beans. And poor little girl in there, she didn't know much of anything. She came over and asked me if I needed help. And I told her, I'm looking for some yellow wax beans. I said, you don't see them much anymore. And she didn't understand what I was talking about. And I said, well, you know what a green bean is, don't you? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, picture a green bean. And picture it being yellow.
Yeah.
She said, oh. And she started looking around. And we couldn't find nothing. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's all right. I said, let me see if you got, do you have Fig Newton seeds and chocolate pudding seeds? Well, she started looking. Finally, she turned around and looked at me. She said, get out of my store, you know.
Yeah.
But if I could grow them in the garden, I'd never go to town again.
I got asphyxiated on those Fig Newtons years ago.
Oh, I love them.
And you know, by far, my there's several candy bars I like, Reese's Cup being one of them and stuff. Whatchamacallits, Rolos, you know that and stuff. But I got stuck on the Fig Newtons, and I could not put them things down. But one thing, Now I'm 6'4", 270 pounds now. All the sweating I've done here last little bit.
Yeah, you're getting a little skinnier.
Yeah, and now, but the hardest thing I can ever turn down is a chocolate chip cookie and stuff. I will go to different restaurants and different eateries and stuff like that and see who's got the best chocolate chip cookies.
Well, since I had all my teeth pulled, now I got new dentures now, and I'm still playing with them. But I just can't eat none of that stuff anymore. It just, first of all, these old store-bought teeth, you go to biting on stuff, and well, you don't know you're biting on anything. Yeah. You know, and it's I made a mistake and put a scoop of peanut butter in my mouth the other day, both my dentures in there. Yeah. I like to choke to death. I was trying to jerk them things back out of there. So all you little children out there, you brush your teeth and stay away from candy bars and soda pops and listen to your mama and daddy.
Well, I was telling you, Teresa had COVID. Old Paul here come down with salmonella poisoning, of all things. All people, the get it and stuff. I knew you eat peanut butter. I did not know you eat peanut butter as much as you do.
I have a little half a sandwich, peanut butter and jam sandwich every day.
And stuff. And so Paul was one of the unlucky people that got sick off the Jif salmonella poisoning.
Well, I normally buy them big containers of Kroger peanut butter. Yeah. I like it real good. You know, it's got a peanut taste and it's thicker. But they was out of them big jars, and so I bought a couple big jars of Jif.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I got raised on Jif, you know, no big deal. That and Peter Pan, you know. And about the time I started eating it, that's when I started feeling bad. Well, I'd had problems with my thyroid gland, and they changed my medicine back and forth and everything. So I said, well, they got this messed up again. So I called in about some blood work and went in. And when I had it checked, they said, well, your thyroid's perfect, but you got salmonella poison.
And so Paul felt bad for what, a month?
Oh yeah, every bit of that. I'm just now getting better
and stuff, and so I'm glad that they found out that he was actually had salmonella poisoning, not his thyroids and stuff, because he would call me or text me and stuff. He said, man, I'm weak, I'm tired. And
my hair fell out.
Well, your hair fell out years ago.
But, okay, Lloyd.
you text me and call me and stuff, and I'd listen to you how bad. You sounded horrible on the phone and stuff. You could just tell you wore out and tired.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it wasn't your thyroid, of all things, because you've had trouble with that in the
past. Well, for about a year and a half, they started changing things on me. And, you know, and I'll be 71 on my next birthday. You know, and us older fellas, we don't jump back just real quick. Like Lloyd's just a young fella.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm starting to figure I'm getting older. I still want to think I'm 35 years old, and I still get out here and work like one.
Yeah. See, like, last time I was on the radio and stuff, I had hurt my knee and stuff, and it was popping, cracking. It hurt. I've never had knee pain hurt this bad. And so I go to the doctor over and stuff. He goes, well, you either torn meniscus or you got a pulled muscle or something like that. And I have RLS, which is restless leg syndrome anyway. So my legs have to stay going all the time. And then where I work on that equipment all the time, you know, on the hay rollers and stuff like that, the vibration from the tractor and stuff, they make my legs cramp up really bad and have muscle spasms and Charlie horses all the time. So they put me on a muscle relaxer. It's the lowest grade of muscle relaxer.
Like Flexeril or something?
Something like it. It's really low and stuff. You'd have to take 10 of them to do one of those hardcore muscle relaxers. But, so I'm sitting at the house one night, getting ready to go to bed. Tracy had woke me up from a nap to tell me to go to bed and stuff. I got to do it every night. And so I fall asleep in the recliner first, and then she tells me, hey, you know, it's 12 o'clock, you need to go to bed. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigarette real quick. So I had taken one of those muscle relaxers. It was on a Sunday night. And so I go outside to smoke, and I had my knee bent just a little bit and stuff behind me because it had been hurting pretty bad. And I'm sitting there just wiggling and stuff, and all of a sudden, snap! I was like,
oh, man.
I don't know if that was a good snap or a bad snap, but that was a snap. And so I go on in, go to bed and stuff, and I tossed and turned that night and everything. Got up the next morning, and it was like I never had knee pain ever again.
Well, that sounded like it was out of joint there a little bit. Or...
It was. It was twisted in the joint and stuff. Well. So it had been twisted for about 2 weeks.
Hmm.
Now, I've twisted, you know, a shoulder, and I've twisted the knees before and everything. But it usually it's 1 or 2 days, and then it pops, and then you go.
Well, I had a problem with my shoulder here. It's been about 5 or 6 years ago, and doctors I was seeing at the time said, well, you have bursitis, and started giving me these big cortisone shots, big long needles, shoving them all the way in there. And, oh, it hurt. It hurt. And it never was getting any better. And I finally started seeing a chiropractor about my back. Mm-hmm. And I asked him about that shoulder, and he got to feeling around in there, and all of a sudden he jabbed my arm and twisted it around here, and I felt the pop. Couldn't hear it. And boy, that felt good. I said, what do you do? He said, well, your shoulder was out of dislocated. He said, partially dislocated. Yeah. He said, it's been like that for a while. I said, well, those doctors were telling me I had bursitis. They could tell me I had a dislocated shoulder. I remember something now, Lloyd, what I was saying about the homesteading thing. If you're going to start up, I couldn't remember what I wanted to talk about. Any of you people out there going to move back in a rough old place, you know, and start building? And I mentioned here, couple shows back about what tools you needed and what knowledge you needed. Well, something else you're going to need. You're going to need to learn how to take care of yourself, you know, medically.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just be running out of there, you know. And so you need to get some books, you know, on natural healing and diagnose your own problems, you know, and look it up and see what you can do to kind of fix it, you know. Now, if you got something serious wrong, you're sitting there, your arm dangling off or, you know, bleeding bad, you better get to a doctor.
Yeah, walk it off. You'll be fine.
But that's something you need to keep an eye on. You know,
I'm actually first aid and CPR certified, or was CPR certified. I've lost my. It's been a couple years since I've renewed my certification and stuff. But one time I was CPR certified for the babies and for adults. And but like I said, I've let that lapse now. And stuff, but I am first aid certified I got state certified several years ago through another program stuff, and then I do keep up with all that stuff through the emails and everything. So if they change something, if you need to address a wound one way or the other and stuff, and then always make sure you keep a first aid kit with you at all.
I've got one in the truck all the time.
And stuff. Keep one in the truck, keep one in the barn, keep one in the house.
I've got a good one in the house. Now, while I was with the fire department for a while, Estill County Volunteer Fire Department, you know, they pretty much trained us in all that stuff. It wasn't so much certification, but we had the classes. You know, we could take them or not take them, and you know, and I jumped on every one I could just to
and stuff. But yeah, if you're going to get out and homestead and be out, especially on the farm by yourself and everything, one, if you got a cell phone, carry it and stuff. My parents are always on to me, my wife's always on to me and stuff. Hey, carry your cell phone, sir. Carry your cell phone. 9 times out of 10, if you call me and I'm on a tractor, I can't hear it anyway.
Well,
9 times out of 10, if you call me, I can't hear my cell phone, period. So, it's tractor or not.
Yeah.
And then, but if you're out there working by yourself, stuff, one, let somebody know about where you're working at. And then, two, carry your cell phone with you.
Well, see, I work by myself a lot, you know. And, you know, I was just over there on that job up there in Harper Ridge here last week and putting up the 9.5-foot hand-hewed oak post.
Yeah.
Weighed about 200 some pounds each, putting them up by myself. And one of them, I got in a bind with it. I was the only one there. That thing would come over on me and knock me down, you know. But I keep my phone in my pocket.
Yep. And you know, it's always good to do that and stuff. And too, it's to take pictures of what you're doing and stuff so you can share it with people.
Yeah.
No, it's always a good idea to keep your phone with you at all times. But talking about homestead stuff, last time I was on here, I was talking about the plows that I made for the garden. The better, yes. Healer better is what you call them. I got them done.
Well, they look good while I come over and visited with you the other day. I seen where you...
And the garden, it did good. It mounded and everything awesome. Now I'm ready for the fabric to go down, punch holes in the fabric and stuff. My garden is nothing but a sea of green right now, mostly weeds and stuff. It's past the hoeing part. I actually got in there with a weed eater the other day and weed eated
it. I took a lawnmower before and pushed down between the rows.
And so... with this dry weather and stuff, now I'm down to watering the garden every day. I went to Tractor Supply the other day and got a sprinkler, one of those stand-up 360 sprinklers.
You get that going?
And got it going. When Paul came over to the farm the other day, I was working on one, and I'd lost the jetting out of it. And so I put a new jetting in it, and then Thursday I actually had to go buy a new sprinkler and stuff because it would work, but only half work. So I went and got a new sprinkler. It cost me about $40 and stuff, but now it runs 360 degrees. So.
Well, see, I can't use a sprinkler down there on that spring water because what happens, it'll pick up a little bit of sediment coming out of that spring and it'll get in that jet. Mm-hmm. You'll be sitting on the porch watching that thing go around and around and around, and all of a sudden it stops. Mm-hmm. And you have to go take it apart and take it out to the shop and blow it out. And then, so.
Actually, this one, the one I bought from Tractor Supply and stuff, it came with a filter and stuff that you put in it and stuff, so that when you run your water and stuff, it would catch those small particles and everything.
Well, I put a filter in mine, but it lowered my pressure down so much it wasn't mm-hmm. reaching out there. But I've got enough water pressure. I can take my garden hose right out in the middle of my garden, and I can hit all four corners, mm-hmm. and I got a whole lot of water. But that day that you were working on that yours, I'd buried a water line from a hydrant up by the house mm-hmm. down to the garden, so I didn't have to have hose laying out in the yard all the time. And I just got the hose in the garden. I said, well, I can't wait to turn this on. And I turned it on, and it blowed that whole thing from apart there.
Well, yeah, I
had to come back and put it all back together again.
Yeah, I told the story years ago and stuff when I first met you. It's been, 5 years ago?
Yeah, every bit of that.
And so I go to Paul's house, and he lives in an awesome... Did you ever get your chimney done?
We don't want to talk about that chimney.
So I go to his house, his old log house and everything. Beautiful house, beautiful property. Solar panels everywhere and stuff. And he says, go down there and turn that spigot on down there by the garden. So I turn this thing on. It has so much pressure on it. It is literally sitting there shaking. Now, most of your city water lines and stuff have less than about 50, 60 pounds max.
Yeah, I don't know what I've got.
And stuff. I don't know what Paul's got and stuff, but his spigot was sitting there shaking in the ground. The water was coming out of
it. Well, it's gravity, you know, and it, you know, I'm down in a holler, and uh-huh. you know, and it, of course, got limestone cliff above me everywhere where that spring comes out of that limestone all the way up top up here.
Yeah.
And it goes into an old stave wooden barrel, and then I've got 1¼-inch pipe coming out of it and coming downhill, and it goes into two more plastic barrels that hold about 250, 300 gallons of water. And they tee in together, and it comes down 1¼-inch, and that water will knock you down.
Yeah.
Well, it runs my hydroelectric plant, you know, uh-huh. When I need it. And plus, I've got two houses down there, and it feeds both houses mm-hmm. with water. But now I can go out there, and I can spend an hour in the garden every evening here lately watering, and I don't run out of water. It mm-hmm. just, as dry as it is, you know, it just soaks things down.
That was my next question is, have you noticed the spigot running a little bit low or anything?
Not too much. I can't run my hydroelectric plant right now, but I don't need to. We've had so much sun. Uh-huh. But it'll run the reservoirs down far enough down that I lose all the pressure on the paddle wheel.
Okay.
But as far as running my garden hose, you know, that keeps enough pressure up that... you know, I'm shooting water out there. It slows down a little bit before I'm done watering. But.
So I got the Healer Better done. It does really cool rows. It does about, I'm going to say about 18-inch wide at the base and about 6 inches wide at the top. And it's probably in the area of about 8 inches tall, 8 to 10 inches tall.
Yeah, something like that.
And so it does a really good job. And the reason I did the mounds is because we normally have a bunch of rain this time of year.
Yeah, you stay flooded over there.
And so this year we don't have to worry about the rain and stuff. But
not yet.
But the mounds are keeping the plants going and stuff because they absorb all the water in the bottom of them. And then your plants tap that, and it goes up and stuff. So everything's growing and growing good and stuff. It's just all the grass that I'm having to deal with. And
well, now I'm having a problem. I started a whole lot of broccoli. And I got broccoli plants out there knee high or taller, and it's not making broccoli.
Really?
And another thing, my onions, I grow them old yellow onions. They keep good. And they always make a little... seed pod right on the top of one of the stems. Well, I've always pinched them off, and that makes the onions get a little bit bigger. Uh-huh. Well, this year I decided I'm going to keep them seed pods and try to start my own onion sets in the spring.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's the drought or what's going on, but not one of them onions has made a seed pod. This year I want to try that, you know.
Yeah, I've been suckering my tomato plants. I've been suckering my mint plants and stuff. I started a Kentucky mint. A regular mint,
mm-hmm.
and then a peppermint plant this year. they've done awesome. These things are ginormous. And every night after supper, when I go outside to smoke a cigarette and stuff, I always pop five or six leaves off and stick them in the mouth and chew on them and stuff. And it's just like having mint candy and stuff right there, you know, less the sugar part of it.
Well, that place I've been mowing up the hollow there for the neighbors, the old house used to be, that mint's all down there around the creek bank. Uh-huh. And I'll cut through there with the tractor, and it just smells the whole place up.
Hey, you know, the other day I was bush hogging, and I come up on this hillside, and I had this, it smelled like a lemon-flavored sucker.
Wow.
I'm like, but it had a very aromatic.
Well, there's a lemon balm kind of stuff that grows.
And stuff. So I'm sitting there, and a couple of days later, I go back, and I got that, you know, that picture of this phone app on my phone. And you take a picture of any plant in the world, and it will tell you exactly what it is, sure, the tenure, the how to take care of it, if it's, you know, if it's a weed, if it's a flower, you know, whatever genre it is. And I took a picture of this plant and stuff, and I was like, well, that's cool. It, come to find out, it was a sassafras tree.
Sassafras?
Yes. And I don't know too much about sassafras trees and stuff, but it said it has a lemony scent. And I was like, that's what that was. I had got into a big patch of these on the side of this hill. There used to be a fence row that ran down through there, and we've taken the fence out years ago and stuff, but the line of trees, the sassafras trees, still grow there to this day.
Well, I've got some old pieces of sassafras root that I've had for years, and I'm getting down where I don't have many of them anymore, but in the wintertime, I've got wood heat, and I keep a pot of water on that stove, a kettle of water on there for humidity in the house, and I'll take a piece of that sassafras root, and I'll split it up and throw it in that kettle of water. Well, you can smell that sassafras all through the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice smell.
It does. And so if you need any more sassafras root, just come over to the house. I got plenty of it.
Is it big roots or little roots?
I don't know. I just seen the trees.
Well, they used to talk about the difference between white sassafras and red. And all it is the red sassafras is real strong. Uh-huh. But all it is a more mature tree.
Okay.
You know, the bigger it gets.
Well, this would be white then, because these are small trees, and I keep on bushing.
Well, it's still got a good smell to it, though.
Mm-hmm. And so, but you was talking before we come on an air today and stuff, but you redid an air tank or something?
Yeah, a guy gave me an air compressor, and it looked like a brand new one. He tears old buildings down, and it was in that building, and I saw it, and it still had the paint all over it. Looked like it never been used. And he said, well, I'll find out about it. And he said, if he don't want it, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a 3-horsepower, 20-gallon tank. It comes alive as soon as you plug it in. Yeah, but it had a leak in the bottom of it, in the tanks. Nobody ever drained water out of it.
Uh-huh.
So I brought it home, and I found the hole in there, and I cleaned that hole out real good, and I took a screw and put some JB Weld around it and screwed that screw in there and let it sit up. Well, I fixed that hole.
Yeah.
But as soon as that tank started feeling full of pressure, I had about 6,000 more holes, and they were coming out everywhere. I said, oh, no, that tank ain't no good. So down in the barn, my barn, I had an old air pressure tank for a top-mounted well.
Yeah.
And I'd had it for years, and it probably holds 20 gallons or more. And I said, I'm going to try to convert that into air tank for that compressor.
Yeah.
And I did. I finally plugged it in today, and it's compressing.
Well, that's cool.
But I tell you what, you talk about a abstract looking every piece of pipe I had and elbows and just picture thingamajigs coming this way. It's wild looking, but it works.
It's a electric air compressor, 20-gallon air compressor. It looks pretty cool and stuff. He's got sitting on 6x6 wood blocks and everything.
Well, I had to turn the water tank, the air tank, upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, them old air tanks, you put air in them like you was putting air in a tire. It had a little stem, and then the water come out the bottom. And so I had to turn it upside down, because now I was going to put air back in where the water used to come out.
Yeah.
And I got into another thing on that, too, because them things got a bladder inside of them. Yeah, so I said, well, I got to get that bladder out of there. And there's a port, and it's got a little plate bolted down on top of that port, and then your water pipe comes out of the middle of that. So I unbolted all that, and there's the bladder. I tried pulling it out, but it wasn't going to pull out of there. I said, well, they put them in there, and I pulled and pulled, and finally got a hold of a pair of vice grips and started jerking it. And stuff started coming out, and I stuck my hand back in that thing, and it was plumb full of mouse nest.
Oh, no.
It had been going in that little hole there for years, and so I had to pull a little bit and cut a little bit and pull a little bit, and I finally got it out of there. And but it's going to work.
Well, that's cool.
It's going to work. And I haven't got a dime in it. It was just, you know, I talked before, you know, on your show here about collecting stuff, recycling. Yeah. Over the years, I've always collected old plumbing parts and stuff and got here and there and everywhere. Well, I went and started dumping all them buckets out and going through them, and I come up with exactly enough stuff to put this thing together and make it work, and I didn't have to go to town and spend a dime on it.
That's awesome. It really is awesome. And stuff, but so I did the Healer Better and stuff. Paul's done the air tank. Oh, here I asked Paul before we come on here and stuff. If anybody out there has a 30-gallon plastic drum that they are not using and would like to get rid of really cheaply and stuff, give me a call. Everybody knows my number by now and stuff. It's 1-859-585-5131. Leave me a message. And I'll return your call if you have a 30-gallon watertight plastic drum sitting around stuff. I have a lot of flowers around my house, and they need to be watered every other day. And right now I'm having to fill up four or five 5-gallon pails and put them on my little trailer and walk around the house, and then you spill, you know, 2-3 gallons every time.
Well, you can put a little hose on one of them barrels, you know, and just...
So I'm going to get one of those barrels and mount it to my little garden wagon, and then have it to where the water hose is attached to it, and then I can water my flowers with it and stuff, and just fill up one time and stuff. Right now I'm having to fill, you know, those buckets up 3 or 4 times to go water all my garden and plants and everything.
Well, I'll ask my neighbor. I know he's got some, but I think maybe the tops are cut out of them. I'm not sure.
And so I need it watertight. I need to hold at least 20, 25 gallons of water and stuff, so that I can only make one trip instead of several trips.
Well, next time I get to town, I'll go across town to that guy's got that salvage yard, because he gets stuff. He salvages stuff from the ordnance center in Richmond, and he gets all kinds of stuff.
Well, I don't get any of that plutonium or radiation oil stuff or any of that glowing stuff.
Well, who knows what's in them?
we need to stay away from that. It might kill my flowers.
Okay, well.
And stuff. Then Teresa will be mad at me and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And stuff, but last time I was on here, I was talking about my deck and stuff. My deck's done.
Is it done finally?
It's 16x24 deck. And so I was just gonna put a roof on it and stuff. I need to frame my roof in, and then we went into hay, so it's backlogged.
For, well, I don't feel so bad about my chimney then.
And stuff. So I got to frame this in. I need 10 2x6x20s for the rafters, and then I can get in there and frame it in. My uncle said he's gonna come over and help me get it framed in for me and stuff, and then we can throw metal up on it. I've already got the metal quoted and everything, so it's going to run. It's for the 16x24 deck. It's going to run about $6,000. So,
oh man,
yeah, it's expensive, especially, you know, lumber prices, fuel prices. Right now, fuel's come down about 20 to 30 cents here in the last week.
I think I paid $4.65 this morning over in Irvin
and stuff. The other day I went to Mount Sterling and paid $4.50, I think, $4.51,
well,
something like that.
Yeah, it's still way too high.
And it's still way too high, but, you know, it's politics, and we don't talk about politics.
No.
And stuff. It's just expensive. And wood prices, you know, they came down, and then they've gone back up and stuff. They do that every year and stuff, but now they're saying that they're having to add the fuel cost for delivering it onto the wood and stuff. So wood went up a little bit more than where it was and stuff, but hopefully it will go back down. Hopefully we don't go into the recession or anything like that, but you know, price of groceries is, you know, used to, you'd go somewhere, spend $75 and it feeds you for a week.
Yeah,
now you're lucky to get 3 days out of it. So,
well, like I was talking about that last show, you know, of course, 100 years ago, 1970, how's that in Tucson? $5 bill and filled my Studebaker full of gas and come out with change. And that particular day, you know, I was talking to a fellow there in town and I was paying $4.29 for a gallon there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I said, oh, man.
I know everybody's having, you know, hard times right now with the price of fuel and the price of groceries.
Well, I just don't go anywhere.
Yeah, and a lot of times that usually works and stuff, but this time here and stuff, even with the high, you know, electric's going up, which you don't have to worry about electric, but electric's going up. I've seen where Mount Sterling Water and Sewer is increasing their water and sewer fees and stuff. It's going to go into effect like July 1st.
Everybody be digging an outhouse in their backyard.
Yeah, and then the price of gas and stuff. So a lot of people are starting to stay home now instead of getting out and running the roads, which, you know, looking at 460 and 213 and 11 and 52 and 89 and all them, you would never know that gas was as expensive as it is. And so if it was much traffic's on them.
But. Well, they've grounded so many airplanes now, too, you know, and I was watching a show on a little bit of TV I can pick up that one of those jetliners that hauls all them people, it cost them, I think they said, $186,000 to fill one of them up with fuel.
Really? Wow.
You know, so there's a lot of fuel going up on them airplanes.
Well, tractors right now and stuff, you're paying almost $6 a gallon to row hay or square bale or whatever you're doing. And I went to one fueling station the other day over in Worland Sterling, and they only give you $75 worth. Well, $75 of diesel is only about 13 gallons of diesel. And so I stuck my credit card in there again and got me $75 more worth. Stuck my credit card in there again and it declined it. I'm like, oh man, so you can only get $150 worth of fuel. And
that's just at one station. Could you go to another one? And
well, that's at that station. Now, you couldn't go to another pump or nothing, because I tried to go to another pump and get some gas for my truck and everything, and it wouldn't let me do that either. So I had to go to another gas station to get fuel for my truck.
Okay.
And stuff, but you know, $6 a gallon for diesel right now. You know, a lot of people are talking about only cutting hay one time this year, and that's what I'm doing. I'm only going to do one big cut, and I'm about halfway done with it now. But I'm cutting hay one time this year, and then the rest of the time I'm going to let it grow up, bush hog it, and then I'm going to turn the cows out on it.
Well, the only thing I'm running on the farm right now that's diesel is my little Kubota riding lawnmower. But I've got the old backhoe sitting down there, and then I've got my neighbor's tractor sitting up there, and both of them are diesel. And the other day, I took a dipstick and stuck down the tanks to see how much diesel I had on the farm.
Yeah, very, very much, huh?
Well, I don't use that old backhoe about once a year, you know, and I said, well, it wouldn't hurt to siphon the diesel out of it, you know. Well, if I need it, I'll put some more in it, but, you know.
When you talk about siphon stuff, there have been a lot of people having their tanks siphoned.
Yes, they have.
And stuff over in Jeffersonville area has gotten really bad here lately. I was talking to a guy from over here in Powell County and stuff that has a farm, and he said his tanks got siphoned a couple weeks ago and everything. And so, you know, it's already rough on the farmers. You know, it's $52 for two bundles of 16,000 sisal string for your hay roller. And then you got to pay $6 a gallon for your diesel just for somebody to steal it, to just go back and pay $6 more for your diesel and stuff. So now you got $13 a gallon in your diesel and stuff. You know, luckily, you know, I got one of the newer tractors that I was able to roll all my hay and Camargo on one tank of fuel and stuff. But my mowing tractor and stuff, now it runs for a 7-8 hour period and stuff, it runs about 30 gallons.
Yeah, I don't even like spilling any. I don't think about it. But, you know, I got to noticing a couple of times at the gas station here lately, and I saw it on TV too. People will pull that nozzle out of their gas tank while it's still pumping.
Yeah.
And you'll see gas just flying all over the place, and then they stick it back up in the pump up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much gas in the United States gets dumped on the ground just doing that, you know?
Yeah, and they was talking about that on one of the internet posts that I follow and stuff. When you go get gas, you're supposed to put it on the slowest setting and stuff. And if you get gas, it's either early in the morning or late at night and stuff. Don't ever go get gas in the middle of the day.
Why is that?
And stuff, because what happens is the sun is warming up those lines.
Okay.
And so you're getting more fumes than you are gas, actual liquid. and stuff. So they, and it, the slower you pump your gas and stuff, you'll get more liquid out of the pump than you will.
Well, that makes sense.
And stuff. So do it early in the morning or late in the evening after the sun's went down and stuff before you go fill your
tank. Well, I know I'm so far from town, I know I've run to town just on fumes before.
Yeah, haven't we all?
I try to keep gas in my truck at all times. You know, I don't let it get down low anymore. So.
And but they tell you to run your pump just as slow as you can, and then do it early in the morning or late at night. And when it kicks off, you're done. Don't sit there and keep on clicking and clicking and clicking.
Trying to get every last penny in there.
Yeah, trying to get every last penny, because what you're doing is you're overfilling your tank at this point, and then you're tearing up your floats and stuff inside of it, which could cost you a lot more money in the long run.
Well, your gas gauge won't work right.
So when it shuts off, that's it. You're done and stuff.
But watch these people pull that nozzle out of there and that gas flying 3 feet in the air, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's enough gas to run my generator for 20 minutes.
and so just watch that, folks, and stuff, you know. Hopefully it will go down here in the next little bit.
Well, I don't know.
Everybody says it's not going stuff, but
it's never going to go back the way it was a year ago. They're gonna keep it up, you know. Somebody's gonna make money.
Oh yeah, I like to see how much these oil companies are going to make this year. Yeah. I bet they triple.
Well, they're not going broke, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, but going back to the garden stuff. So I put out a run of corn last week, and I'm having to water every day to keep the seeds wet and stuff, so I hope they germinate. I put out a row of beans the other day. Not to pick, not to eat and stuff. I put out the beans because the beans, green beans and stuff, just take nitrogen from the air.
So to fertilize the soil.
Just to refertilize the soil and stuff. So if you don't like green beans, but you know, it takes the nitrogen from the air and puts it back into the soil, which I need.
Well, legumes do that.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, I've got beans coming on half runners. They're probably an inch long now. Mm-hmm.
And so, but I learned this trick the other day through my uncle and stuff, where it is so dry, and some people are still putting out seeds and stuff, because it looks like we're going to have a really good growing season this year if we can just get some rain in here.
Yeah.
And stuff. But when you seed something like beans or corn or whatever, take a 1x6 board after you've got the seeds in the ground, you put a little bit of fertilizer on it, and you watered it and everything.
Lay the board on top of it.
Lay the board on top of it. Water around it and stuff, and that board will keep the ground wetter than if you did not have the board.
Well, now that's always been a trick on beet seeds, because it's hard to get beets to germinate.
And so,
you know, you lay a board down on your row of beets, you know, and just leave them there and just check them every once in a while. When you start seeing them come up, then you can take your board up. But talking about garden, I don't grow a lot of tomatoes, but I got two tomato plants out, and they've just been wilting and wilting and wilting, and all the watering in the world ain't helping them. Well, a friend of mine that owns property next to me, Chuck, hi Chuck, he's worked as a conservationist, and he knows a little bit of all this stuff, and he said there's a bacteria in the ground that's killing tomatoes.
Really?
You know, you cannot make these two tomatoes grow. They're just not going to do it.
Well, see, I was reading online and stuff that we need to add blood meal to the tomato plants, and that would help them and stuff. So,
well, I mean, for these things, just the wilt, like they're not getting a drop of water, and they're getting soaked every day.
Mm-hmm.
But there, he said there was a bacteria in the soil.
Really?
That it's hard on tomatoes.
Did I know that? Well, they tell you and stuff when you grow tomato plants, especially like I do and stuff. I have to grow them every year in a different spot.
Well,
and stuff, and they have to be at least 20 to 40 feet away from the original spot from the year before, so the bacteria doesn't go through the ground, leach through the ground to get them again.
Well, now my neighbor, she's got a tomato plant that looks like a tree, but she's got it in a great big pot on her porch, and she bought potting soil, so it's not in the native soil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing wonderful. It's got tomatoes hanging all over it and just doing great. But
I know Teresa and I and stuff over at the house, so we got those window boxes filled with flowers and stuff. Somebody called in last year and told us which ones to get, and we got them, and they work really well. But this year, one of the window boxes, every time we put a plant in it, the plant dies. And so we took the dirt out and took the plant out, went bought a new plant, put it back in there and everything, and died again. And so we're still here scratching our heads.
Are they wooden boxes?
No, they are that, what is it, that pineapple fiber.
Wow, yeah.
And stuff. It's just a lining of pineapple fibers and stuff that holds the dirt in and keeps the water, you know, helps so you don't overwater them and stuff. But every time we put anything in that basket and stuff, the flower dies. We're still scratching our heads on that one and stuff. So,
well,
I don't know if there's something in the fiber or if there's something that, you know, the dirt or what
just doesn't like that spot, I guess.
Or don't like that spot, you know, it gets too much sun or not enough sun or something like that.
Well,
but we've changed plants out twice now. Still, every time you put something else in its place.
Well, thinking about that, it's kind of a sad note about that fire up there in Millersburg.
Somebody was telling I have
it burned a whole city block down.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, and the thing about I kept an apartment up there for almost 2 years when I worked up there. That apartment was on top of the post office, and that apartment burnt too.
Oh, really?
But it had balconies looking out on a side street. And I, the whole time I was there, I had to have plants around me. So there's an old lady down the street. She caned chairs, or she rushed them. She did rush bottoms and chairs, but she sold flowers. So I had that whole balcony hanging full of flowers out there in pots and everything on it. Before I knew it, everybody had a balcony, had them all covered, but all that burnt. And they showed it on TV. It just leveled.
Oh, really? I haven't seen.
Millersburg is one of our oldest towns.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And there was a story. If anybody's ever read that book, The Frontiersman, about the life of Simon Kenton, well, it talks about Blue Jacket. He was a Shawnee war chief, but he was a renegade. He'd been just a regular white guy, you know, and he went renegade. Well, when they captured Blue Jacket, they paraded him down the streets of Millersburg.
Oh, really? That's cool.
So that's how old that town is, you know, and for it to, that whole block just burnt, you know. And it's not that big of a town, so it was like the main block.
Yeah, see, they got that old military academy up there that has the Christmas lights every year, and we went up to it this last Christmas and stuff, and that's the first time I've been in Millersburg.
Well,
in
I stayed
years.
In that, when I first went up there to work, I stayed in that motel next to it, and then I come home for a while, and then when I went back, that army thing, they bought that motel, so I couldn't get a room back there, so I got an apartment above the post office. That was the hottest place I ever lived. You couldn't cool that room off.
And talking about the fire and stuff, but also the storms that we've had around here. But hopefully everybody's come out unscathed on those. I know I've cut a couple of trees off a couple of houses already this year.
But we haven't been just 30 miles down the road from you guys. We're not getting it.
Really?
I get a branch, you know, when we... I got two ways in and out of the hollow. And anytime we've had a bad storm, I'll go up one way and come back in the other way, take a chainsaw with me just to make sure there's no trees down. Because if there's a tree down there, you know, the county might not get up there for a week to cut it out. So, you know, got to make sure we keep the roads open.
And stuff. I know the other day it looked like it, the day that you got the ground wet, we didn't get a drop in Mount Sterling, but we got the wind off of it, and it tore a lot of trees up. And then the week before, when we got all that rain, like 2 inches of rain all at one time, and stuff, we got the wind off that, and that's the one that did all the damage. Had a lot of straight line winds.
Well, so we didn't get any rain in the hollow then. And,
really?
Yeah, and I went up to the job, and I got up there, and there was water laying everywhere. And I said, well, where'd this come from?
Yeah. And stuff, but we're not officially in a drought yet and stuff, but we're headed that direction if we don't get something.
Well, my creeks, I got three creeks on the farm, and they come down, you know, into the main creek here. And I can walk across right through the creek and not get my shoes wet.
Really?
It's
getting bad. That stuff. So, what else have we got to talk about, Paul?
Well, we try to make something up. I don't know. I'm still fooling with that old tractor of mine, and I couldn't.
Did you get it painted?
Yeah, it's painted. I'm done painting now. But I was having trouble with the draft on it.
Yeah.
I dropped something down, and it wasn't ready to start. It just keep pushing back up out of the ground. My hars and my layoff plow, I put it on there so I could kind of transfer the water line I was burying. And I said, what's causing this to do that? I talked to two or three older fellows that had them old tractors. It's old 55 Massey Ferguson. They told me to do this and do that. Well, I went and looked at my tractor, and my tractor didn't have all them doohickeys they told me to do with. So I bought the manual for it.
Uh-huh.
It's the reproduction manual, but it's a manual. I didn't have that manual 5 minutes, and I fixed it.
What was it?
Well, it only had one control arm on the draft, and it had been broke off, and somebody had patched it and put an extension on, and it stuck way up there, and it flopped back and forth, and you had to kind of hold it. Well, according to the book, it had two control arms. Well, the other one was in there, but it was bent back and pushed all the way, mashed back into the frame where it's supposed to be, and you couldn't tell it was there.
Oh, really?
And I took a big screwdriver and started prizing and prizing and prizing, and finally got that thing out of there, and it had two little knobs you could set, you know, for up and down. I set them knobs, and that draft works perfect.
Really? So it had the handle. It was just bent back, so back as far back that you couldn't see it.
It looks like somebody took a hammer and beat it back in there.
Huh.
It was mashed back in there. But you couldn't see it.
Really?
But I looking in that picture in that book, I said, well, this is my tractor, a TO-35.
Yeah.
I went and looked at that thing and started looking back in there, and I said, well, there it is. Got it, prized it back out there, and it works great now, so.
Yeah, you know, I use an iPad right here and stuff for the radio, and then use it in store all the time. And now we'll start using it on the farm stuff, because I can download those manuals straight onto here, and then I don't have to worry about having to keep up with the books and everything, because I normally keep my hay roller manual with my tractor, and then I have one of the tractor manuals with the tractor at all times, so if I'm out in the field and I break down, I get, boom, it's right there, I can fix it. The problem with that is, and stuff, the tractor flooded last year in that flood and stuff, so the books are no more and stuff. You can't, they won't even open and stuff, all the prints, you know, come off of them, so I'm going to have to buy new manuals and everything for all my equipment that I had in that tractor. And so I'm going to download them onto this iPad, and then it's going to cost like $20 to download them and stuff. It's $20 and stuff in this day and time. It's not much. But I'll have the information at my fingertips when I need it.
Well, I've got some old Chilton manuals I've had since I was 18, 19 years old.
Really?
Oh, you could build a vehicle out of what they show in them things, you know. And they're great, you know. But any piece of machinery I've ever had, I've got a manual for it, and I've got them all. I've still got the one for that old TD6 I had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that stuff. But they come in really handy and stuff. But, you know, I have a square baler from the it's either later 50s or early 60s, and it still works. That's what I square baled my hay with. Everybody's like, oh, you need to go update your thing. That thing is one of the most dependable. It may be small, it may be mini.
I'm sure you can work on it
and stuff. There's not very many moving parts on
it. And I'm sure it's got grease fittings on it.
Yes, it's got grease zerks all over it. And, you know, you take your used motor oil when you get done with it, and you coat all your gears with it until next year and stuff. And then when you put it in the barn, it's got all this used motor oil on it. And so it's good to go the next time you go to pull it out.
I hate to turn rusted up.
And so I've ran maybe 500, 600 bales through it and stuff. I don't use a whole lot of square bale hay and stuff. I only do it when cattle are sick and everything. But that baler is, it's old. I mean, it's really old. It's got three chutes on it and stuff to where you can shoot up onto a trailer.
Oh, well,
and stuff,
that's
which
handy.
Makes it really nice.
So you got a hitch, you can hook a trailer right behind that.
Yeah, I can hook the hay wagons right in behind it and go on. Only problem is my hay wagon's really tall. It's actually taller than the baler is and stuff. So I got to really shoot them.
You ain't got one. You can put some lower tires on it just for
stuff,
that.
We're going to have to come up with something. That's what Jimmy's talking about when we was out there square baling the other day. He says, one, if I'm helping you, it's going to be 9,500 degrees. And two, it's going to be the hardest work you can put out there, ain't it? And I said, yes, sir, it is.
Well, when you're baling hay, you got to do it on a hot day.
You cannot do hay and it not be at least 90 degrees.
I know it.
And stuff. So, but we got it done. But that baler is, it's an old baler, but it's a good, reliable baler. And with Jimmy running and stuff, he's a very patient person anyway. And normally, if you get too much in the throat at one time and stuff, when the two fingers come through there to kick it back into the square and stuff, they'll break that pin in there And so I keep a bag of pins on the tractor at all times for when you're breaking things and stuff. But when we was out there the other day, we did not break not one single pin.
Well, now you got to understand too, those old machines like that, they were run by old tractors. You know, not these big, powerful, brand new outfits that'll throw them in gear and just fly with them
and stuff. So I ran it with the 5300, which is a 55 horsepower tractor, but it's only 47 horsepower on the PTO. And we didn't run very many RPMs at all on it, and we ran it in the slowest gear we could and stuff. And we just creeped through the field, and it cleaned up really good, did not break a bolt or anything.
Well, now, you know, I've been using that old Massey I bought, you know, and like I said, it's a real tractor. It's old one, but it's real. It sits like a real tractor. And I got on that little 1600 Ford the other day. It hadn't been started since back early in the spring, and I said, well, I need to move that thing around. I thought I was going to fall off of it. That little narrow, tall little thing, you know.
Yeah.
I said, this thing ain't comfortable at all. I can't believe I've been riding it that many years, you know.
And stuff. Then big difference between a 55 and
77.
Yeah, and stuff. So, you know, your tractor's a gas-powered tractor and stuff, and them are good.
It starts tractors. Every time I keep the battery cable loose from it and keep the gas turned off. And but I can go down and stick that cable on, turn that gas on there, and hit that switch, and it starts. It's alive right now. And back even when I got it, the weather was still cold. I never had to choke it.
Really?
Yeah, it fired right up. And that thing set for like 10 years like that, and it fired right up.
That's cool.
Now, I've changed all the fluids and everything in it, you know, and I've changed oil twice in it, and I finally put some of that Lucas conditioner in the old conditioner. They got a new one now. Well, I don't know how new it is. New to me, anyway. For antique engines.
Oh, okay.
And it's just about quit smoking.
Really? Well, that's cool. And stuff. So what's the deal with the chimney?
Well, right now it's just gotten too daggone hot, and I'm only liking 6 foot. Laying brick up on it. I've only got $3 of scaffolding. Now, I've got the bricks up there. I've got 3 sets of ladders I got to go up. You got to put the bricks in the mud up on one scaffold level and then get up on it and put them up on the second. Then you got to get up there and put them on the third.
Why don't you just build you a pulley?
I could do a lot of things, Lloyd, but I don't
take you one of those boats.
But I can lay 50 bricks in one. Well, I've got a winch on that old Ford truck, and I could probably take that backhoe up there if I didn't run over
it.
Well, it ain't got no brakes, and I'd probably go right over my solar panels with it and run through the house. But, you know, it's getting it. But with this last buck of scaffolding and my height and everything, I'm only going to be able to lay up like 4 foot. So it's going to leave me about 2 foot of chimney that I'm going to probably have to get off a step ladder. Once I get up there.
So you're going to put a step ladder on top of the scaffolding?
Well, I've already tied the scaffolding back to the house. The old metal scaffolding, I never did like that stuff. You get up $2 or $3 on that thing, and it kind of wiggles. You know, and you're up there, and you're wiggling with it. And I don't like wiggling when I'm way up there. You know,
because you sit there, we text back and forth all the time stuff, and it's like every day you text me, yeah, I'm in hay. And I text you, yeah, I'm working on the chimney and stuff. And I'm like, dude, it's a chimney. It shouldn't take, you know, more than a couple of weeks.
Well, it's not going to take more than 16 years. I'm just about done. The chimney's there. It worked, you know. Yeah. You know, it's a cement chimney tile blocks, you know, and then it's got clay liner inside of it. But I started laying the brick, and what really happened was the style of brick I was using, I was running out of them.
Oh, okay.
And an old woman up there on the mountain, she had a whole pile of them where her house had been bricked up. And didn't need them anymore. They just piled up out there. And I went and talked to her about getting them. She said, well, I'll tell you what. She said, you have a rototiller. I said, yeah. She said, if you'll come up here and rototill all my garden beds around the house, she said, I'll give you all their bricks. I said, well, I'll do that. So I did. I went and cleaned all our flower beds out and tilled them all up and cleaned them all up good. And took my old truck up there and was going to get them bricks for her boy come in. Oh, no, those are my bricks. I'm going to keep them. That's where you keep them, and that's been 15 years ago, and them bricks are still piled up there. He's still keeping them.
And you've been working on your chimney for 16
years.
Well,
now I'm going. Well, I went on the road working there for a long time too. I just wasn't even home, and I'm getting older, Lloyd, and it's getting a little harder. Well, I did break my back at one time, you know, and it's not so easy.
Excuses.
Nah, you wait.
All right, guys, we're out of time for this show and stuff. Paul, thank you for coming on. And
yeah, sure, anytime, Lloyd.
And being a coal person this week and stuff. Hopefully we won't go as long as we did last round. Hopefully everything's starting to calm down and we can get back into the radio station.
Well, people probably aren't going to want to hear me four shows in a row, you know. So
and stuff. Teresa, she said we got to do it this week. We have to do it this week and stuff. But where she had COVID and stuff, she's really really tired and really low on energy and everything. Mm-hmm. And so it takes her a little bit to jump back from it. Every time when she go, if she gets a cold or if she gets the flu or whatever stuff, it takes her a while to regain everything. So hopefully next week she'll be back. If not, stuff, we'll come up with something. But we won't be doing the reruns like we have been doing and everything and stuff. It's just been one thing after another.
Well, I told Lloyd a while back, I said if he's going to have me filling in for Teresa every once in a while, need to kind of change the name of the show to the Lloyd and the Dummy Show.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Well, I could be the dummy, you know.
No, nobody's dummy. Nobody's stupid. And stuff. I was talking to somebody the other day and stuff, and they said, well, I'm just stupid. No, you're not. Don't ever say you're stupid. I can't stand
it. Well, I'm not stupid. I just put the thing about being a dummy, nobody expects anything out of you then, you know. So.
Well, that might be true and stuff, but that burns my biscuit. All right, folks, everybody have a wonderful and blessed week this week, and just watch out for the heat and everything. And if you're outside, you know, just drink a lot of fluid and stuff. Take plenty of breaks and get in the shade as much as you can. Stay out of the sun is the biggest thing. But everybody just have a blessed work weekend. Paul, you got anything else to add?
Well, I think it's going to cool down next week, so everybody get a little break from this. And then if the ground gets good and wet, you know, everything will go to growing. We get back to mowing grass again.
Woohoo!
No, I can't think of anything. And maybe we'll come up with something next time.
All righty then. Everybody have a great weekend and great work week ahead. See you next time.
Love and what I do till the day I'm dead.